I backed away to charge again. Something shot out from the gun and lodged inside my chest. I looked down to see that a small pellet had hit my skin. I looked back up, incensed at being shot. I moved my feet so I could lean and strike out at the guard, but my legs were suddenly leaden, and my vision began to blur. "Direct hit!" one of them shouted, as the world flipped to the side, and I staggered until I hit the wall of the cell. I heard the sound of the lock sliding open. I saw the blur of several guards dressed in black filling the cell. Hands grabbed at my arms and dragged me from the cell and out into the hallway. My feet tried to find purchase on the sand beneath me, but my muscles struggled to work. The guards dropped me to the floor. I hit the floor with a thud and blinked my eyes. My vision cleared some, but my movements were delayed, my limbs moving a second later than when I ordered them to. The guards circled me, guns raised. I managed to push myself to a sitting position just as 2 feet came into view. 2 feet wearing black shoes. It belatedly sank into my mind who those feet belonged to as they struck out, slamming into my ribs. I fell to the sand, the coarse grains flicking inside my mouth. I spat out the sand and tried to sit up, but as I did, those feet kicked across my face. The taste of blood burst onto my tongue. "You pathetic pieces of shit!" a voice snarled down to where I lay. It was Master's voice. Fingers gripped my hair and ripped back my head. Master's face swam in and out of focus as he glanced at my face.
"You all thought you could revolt,"
he snapped lowly.
"You thought you could best me in my own fucking pit."
I tried to tell him to fuck off, that he dared hurt 152, dared put her in his fucking way, but nothing came out. Master's hands let go of my head. It wanted to flop to the floor, but I fought to keep it held high. Master laughed down at where I lay, drugged and losing strength.
"You think you can fight?"
he asked sardonically. Master then looked at the guards.
"Get the Chiri to finish cleaning the stands and pit quickly."
He kicked me on the ground, then said,
"Then get him into the tunnel. He will fight. And tonight, he will finally die."
Master walked away, and I lay on the hard, sandy floor replaying his words in my head. "Then get him into the tunnel. He will fight. And tonight, he will finally die." 152's terrified face blasted to the front of my mind. Even drugged, I pushed my hands onto the floor and forced myself to sit up. My arms shook with the strain, but I held on as I saw 152 screaming when Master pushed her in front of him as 667 and 140 charged. Anger swirled in my stomach. I reached out my hands, feeling my blades lying beside me. Wrapping my hands around the handles, I felt better knowing I held cold steel in my hands. I had fought with these Kinjals for so long that I prayed my body would remember how to fight. I had to make it to the final. I had to live for 152. Moving my legs, I managed to push myself to stand, swaying as my legs almost gave way. I gritted my teeth as my head swam. Snickering and laughter rang out around me. The guards jeered as I stood, their voices sounding like tinny bells in my ears. A whistle sounded from somewhere far away, and a hand was pushing me forward as I stumbled until I reached a tunnel. The tunnel was dark. My vision pulsed and shimmered with black spots when the light at the end scalded my eyes.
"Go!" a voice commanded.
I kept my female's face in my mind as I pushed my leaden feet forward.
My shoulders banged off the walls as I staggered into the pit. The crowd was quiet when I walked through. I lifted my head, but the spectators were a blurred line in the darkness. I tried to search for her, but I couldn't pin her down. I stilled, trying to listen to my opponent. I heard it late, but I heard it. The grunt of someone lifting something heavy. A light breeze bristled at the back of my head, and I ducked, just as what looked like a chain swung where my head had just been. Holding my kinjals, I turned and swung, feeling a shift in weight as I connected with something. I knew I had hit my opponent, but I hadn't struck him deeply enough. I shook my head as I stumbled back a few steps. I blinked away the fuzziness in my eyes just in time to see a tall male running toward me, chain circling above his head, something round attached to the end. I dived into the ground as the ball on the end of the chain smashed into the sand beside my head. I kicked out my leg as the fighter passed, bringing the tall male to the ground. My legs weren't strong enough to hold me up. I needed to take this kill to the floor. It was my only chance. The crowd's volume increased. Shifting to my knees, I searched around me. I couldn't place where my opponent was. Suddenly, a thick chain around my throat cut off my breathing. Dropping my blades, I reached up and tried to pull it away, but my opponent's grip was too tight. I clawed at his hands, forcing my fingers to work. But he didn't move. Praying it would work, I leaned forward. With a sudden lift, I rammed the back of my head into what I hoped was his nose. I heard the crunch of bone breaking. I used the brief slackening in his grip on the chain to wrench the metal from his hands and throw it across the pit. I wasn't sure how far it went, but I didn't have a chance as my opponent flipped me onto my back and straddled my waist. His hands circled my throat. He squeezed, again cutting off my air supply. I kicked my legs to try and throw him off. He held fast. Black spots began filling the limited vision I had. My eyes began to close. I wanted to let go. I wanted, in that moment, to give in to the darkness. But as my mind cleared on the brink of death, my female's pretty smiling face filled the void. Her face, as I took her, both of us choosing to join because we wanted it. Then I pictured her being hit by Master, him throwing her in front of him to protect his sorry ass. I couldn't leave her alone. Blinking my eyes open, I moved my limp hand that was lying beside me. I began dragging close to try to fight my opponent off when my palm ran over cold steel. My heart thundered with hope as I managed to grip that handle. Hand shaking, I trusted my muscles to help me end this match. I searched for a deep breath, but it was impossible to breathe. Knowing I was on the verge of blacking out, I used the remainder of my strength to lift my kinjal and aim for my opponent's head. The blade slammed against something hard, and when his fingers released my neck and warm liquid sprayed over my face, I knew I had sliced through his skull. The fighter's body slumped to the side, and the roar of the crowd became deafening. I gasped for breath, my throat burning as I dragged in much-needed air. But I couldn't move. My muscles were exhausted, the drug finally taking control. I wasn't sure how long I lay there, but arms wrapped around me lifted me from the floor, and began dragging me from the pit. Before I reached the tunnel, I found enough strength to turn my head to the stands, to where Master sat. He was watching me go with fury in his stare, but 152 was staring at me in relief. I thought I had smiled at her, but as the drugs took me under, I couldn't be sure. But my female had. She had gifted me her secret smile away from the watchful eye of our master. One given freely. Only for me. Only ever me.
13. 152. I hadn't been sure before this moment that a heart could beat so fast, yet almost break apart at the very same time. As I had watched 901 collapse into the pit, bloodied and unable to find strength, I knew that Master had hurt him, drugged him somehow. Hurt him because he had tried to save me. Save me from the two champions that had attacked. Nausea built in my throat when I thought back to the moment that Master had ordered the guard to slit 667's Mona's throat. Her lifeless eyes as the body fell to the floor swimming in her blood. And 901 had charged the bars to reach me as Master had used me as a shield, all to protect himself. Master stood from his seat as 901 was dragged out of the pit by four guards. My heart swelled and burst, then regained a lost beat when a hint of a smile had pulled on his split lips. He was so handsome. I cared for him so much. It seemed an almost impossible sensation to endure. Master walked into a throng of people, all fussing and panicking over the champion's attack. Master was trying his best to calm them all down, but I could see the strain and anger on his face. A hand gripped my arm, and I found myself being forced to my feet by a guard. He guided me roughly to the beginning of a tunnel where Maya waited to take me back to my room. Her eyes were facing the floor in submission as I met her. She fell into step beside me, and we hurried to follow the guard. I rushed as fast as I could through the hallways. I was glad that the guard was quick, clearly needing to return to the pit. I wanted to be alone with Maya. I needed to work out a way to get to 901. As soon as we arrived at the door, the guard threw both Maya and me into the room. He slammed the door shut, and silence descended on us when we were left in our own company. Maya's head raised, and she moved to lock the bolt on the inside. When she did, I gestured with my hand to the side room to be sure we couldn't be overheard. As soon as the curtain closed, sectioning us off from the rest of the room, she said, "Miss, what is happening? The entire place is in a fluster." I pressed my hand over my forehead and sat down on the couch. Maya crouched before me. I shook my head in disbelief at the actions of today. Maya took hold of my hand for support. I cast her a grateful smile. Meeting Maya's eyes, I confided, "The champions revolted." Maya's eyes grew as wide as saucers. 901? She questioned in concern. I shook my head. He was trapped in the waiting cell. It was the other two males. I quickly explained the rest. Maya got to her feet and guided me to the chair in the center of the room. I sat on the vanity seat, and I sighed as she released the pins that were keeping up my hair. I groaned as her fingers raked over my scalp, and I heard Maya sigh. "What?" I asked, feeling a nervous energy flowing from where she stood. She walked around me slowly. "Miss," she said softly, and I watched as a small smile spread on her lips. "What?" Maya took my hand. "I discovered your name." In a split second, my pulse raced at a heady speed. "What?" I whispered in disbelief. Maya nodded her head and squeezed my hand. "And I know 901's too." "How?" Maya shrugged. "I have been asking the Chiri to help me." She raised one shoulder. "We are a close community. We help one another." Meeting my eyes, she said, "One of the Chiri cleans the offices where the files for all slaves are kept. I asked her for yours and 901's. My body was tense as I waited for her to reveal the biggest mystery to me. "You are Inessa Bilrova, miss, from Russia." As she told me my name, it felt as though the invisible chains that kept me in darkness were breaking free from my soul. "Inessa Bilrova," I repeated, and felt tears flow down my cheeks. Maya wiped them away with her thumb and then said, And 901 is named Ilya. Ilya Konev. He too is Russian. A sob slipped from my lips as I thought of 901's, I mean, Ilya's handsome face and that beautiful name. Ilya, I whispered, treasuring the sound of those letters on my tongue. Inessa and Ilya. I laughed this time. The sound strained through my hoarse throat. I blinked to clear my vision. We have names, I said to Maya. She nodded her head. Names, I repeated, and this time she laughed too. Leaning forward, I wrapped Maya in my arms. How can I ever thank you? I asked. Maya tensed. I immediately pulled back. Her eyes dipped and she said, Since I was sent to serve you, you have treated me as though I were alive, that I am somebody. This is worth more than I could ever give you, miss. You're wrong, I said, as my heart warmed. Maya shook her head. A sudden seriousness set in her expression. I waited patiently for her to speak. Miss, I found something else, too. I held my breath as she revealed. You had a brother, too. His name was Valentin. Valentin Belrov. At this moment, I felt as if I were a cracked vase taken back in time. I was the broken pieces, shattered and seeming irreparable, suddenly fixed and reforming into a normal state. Valentin, I said, and immediately saw a young boy holding me in his arms as we traveled in a small cage. I was crying, but he held me close, kissing me and making me feel safe. The boy that I waved to. I pressed my hand over my lips. My eyes fluttered when I whispered, I'll miss you. Maya didn't react to my words, didn't ask why I had said it, but I explained. When I was taken from him, when he was fighting to get me back, a sudden image of high walls and towers flooded my mind, snow and steep dark steps. But I waved from far away and told him, I'll miss you. My heart felt like it was cracking as an onslaught of images raced through my mind. Him as a young boy, training in the pits. Then him slightly older, near Maya's age, with a metal collar around his neck. My hand lifted to my neck and I let my fingertips drift over the skin. He wore a collar, I said, seeing a female dressed in all black, using me to make him yield. Mistress, I said, and it was said harshly. I barely remembered the female, yet something told me that I hated her with all my being. Yes, Maya clarified. Master's sister. She was the one who took both you and your brother away with her. But I came back, I clarified. Maya nodded sadly. Sadly. What? I questioned. Maya sighed, then revealed. Mistress was killed, not too long ago. We don't know how or by whom or even where, but she is dead. And my brother? Maya shook her head. They didn't know. I pushed my brain to remember more, but nothing else would come. I was tired and confused. And Ilya? I want to see Ilya, I told Maya. She nodded sympathetically but said, Master will not allow it, miss. If you go against his orders, you will be punished. She glanced away, then faced me again. I knew that look. It wasn't anything good that she was about to reveal. She hesitated, but I urged. Just tell me. Maya exhaled, then said, Master never intends to give you to Ilya ever again. I overheard him telling his high guard that he achieved what he wanted with his gifting of you to him. Maya paused, but I pushed. Tell me. Everything, please. Maya closed her eyes. He said that you are too beautiful, and he won't have a repeat of what happened with his last Haimona. Not with you. He said that once this tournament is over, He never intends for you to set foot out of this room. He wants you to himself and only to himself. He said that he knows you feel that way too. Repulsion rose in my throat. I made him think that, I said in devastation. At Ilya's cell, I made him believe that I was unaffected by Ilya, that I wanted Master. Maya's eyes softened in sympathy. Her hand tightened on mine. She shook her head. Miss, you can't disobey Master. If he believes you want him, and then you will betray him, he will surely kill you. What he did to his last Haimona was horrific. He likes you much, much more, which means he would hurt me more. I finished for her. The pain would be worse. Maya nodded. All I felt was sadness. Sadness and the impossibility of my situation. My hand covered my chest above my heart and I whispered, Maya, the pain is so great in my heart when I think of not seeing Ilya again that I feel like my heart is breaking. Maya didn't say anything in response. How could she? What was there to say? Come, miss, she said eventually. Let's get you into bed for when Mister comes back. Ilya, I said in a daze as she led me to the main room. His name is Ilya. I am Anessa, and I had a brother named Valentin. Yes, miss. My tears came thicker this time. Ilya didn't know his name, wouldn't ever know his name if I never saw him again. And if I was confined to this room, I would never know what happened to my brother. For some strange reason, the fighter with the scarred face, 194, came to mind. I had caught him watching me from the pits, but more disturbing than his attention was how I didn't mind. I knew it was because he reminded me of the male that was in my dreams. As I looked to Maya's scarred face, I wondered if they had made him a Chiri. Scars and disfigurements were nothing new in the pit. Slaves were punished brutally for the smallest thing. Just like Maya. I wondered if he had somehow cared for me when I was under the drugs and didn't even know where or who I was. I knew I might never find out the answers to these questions. After all, this was Master's domain, and I was his favorite toy. What Master wanted, he got. And right now, he wanted me. Caged. So I would be caged. It was just that simple. I shifted on the bed, trying to get comfortable. All I could think of was 901. No. Ilya. I still sometimes forgot to use his name. He had a name. Ilya. Inessa. Valentin. As I kicked the sheets off my legs, there was a loud knock on the door. I sat upright. Maya appeared from the side room and shuffled across to the door. When she opened it, a guard said something to her. Maya nodded, then shut the door again. I sat up higher. Walt. Maya approached me and said, Mister isn't coming to you tonight. He is entertaining his guests after the attack. I nodded, about to lie back down, when I suddenly froze. Maya? I said quietly, purposely keeping my voice low. Maya tipped her head to the side as she listened. I threw back my sheet and slid to the end of the bed. I need to see Ilya, I said, his name still sounding unfamiliar yet so perfect on my lips. No, Maya said, and rushed to where I sat. I have to, I said, and got to my feet. Maya took hold of my arms and searched my gaze. You can't miss. Inessa, I whispered, and I felt my chest release from a weight I hadn't known I was even carrying. Call me Inessa, by my name. I'm not Miss to you. We aren't separate anymore. Maya didn't reply. She was silent, but her glistening eyes informed me of how she felt. Miss, Inessa, she quickly corrected. It isn't safe, you know that. I noted her concern, but Ilya's name circled my mind. Releasing Maya's arms, I walked toward the door. I'm going. I need to. Ilya has a name. He had a life before this pit. He is someone. I have to tell him. I lifted my hand to my heart. Our names are part of our path to freedom. He has to know. Maya searched my eyes. Shoulders sagging, she said, Stay here. Maya walked around me and opened the door. She looked back and said, There are no guards. They are all guarding the guests. Some are trying to leave after today, so we can get to Ilya easily. Maya frowned but said, It won't be easy. But we can find an excuse if we need. I shook my head. No, I can't risk your life. You can't do this without me, she replied. Maya, I went to speak, but she cut me off. My life is a forfeit every day. Any of the guards could decide to kill me, or take me against my will on a whim. More Chiri die in this pit than warriors and Monami combined. We are nothing to these people. If my life is in danger anyway, I would rather die in the cause of something good than under the hand of someone's anger. Maya, I whispered, hating that this was her life. Squeezing my hand, she slipped from the door and I followed behind. The hallway was unusually quiet. Keeping my feet as light as possible, I walked fast behind Maya. I kept my eyes alert, but there was barely a sound as we made our way to the champion's quarters. Ilya's cell was dark when I approached. Maya opened the lock with her keys from her dress, and she silently opened the door. A faint creak filled the barren hallway. I stilled, praying a guard had not been nearby. But there was nothing, just silence. I slipped through the doorway. Maya stood awkwardly behind. I reached back and pressed my hand against her scarred cheek. Her dark eyes looked up at me. Go, I whispered, but she shook her head. Go, I repeated. Do not risk your life for me. I will say I will lift of my own accord if caught. It appeared that she wasn't going to move. But when I dropped my hand, she nodded in defeat and disappeared from the hallway. Steeling my nerves, I moved into the shadows of the room. I squinted my eyes, adjusting to the lack of light. One lamp was dimly lit on the far wall, blanketing the cell in a hazy yellow glow. A quiet groan sounded from the direction of the far wall. I moved closer. On the floor sprawled a bloodied, naked Ilya. I rushed forward and bent down beside him. My hands hovered over his huge body. I didn't know where to touch him. I didn't know where he was hurting. Sensing I was here, he rolled painfully onto his back. His blue eyes blinked up at me. His left eye was bruised and swollen. Dried blood stuck to his skin, and his hair was matted with blood and sweat. Ilya inhaled, wheezing as he did so. My stomach dropped at how broken he appeared. This huge male, the undefeated champion, was now vulnerable. He stared at me. I wondered why when his hand lifted and brushed down my cheek. I lifted my hand and laid it over his to keep it in place. Moi prokrasny, he whispered, barely making a sound. Yes, I replied, and leaned down to press a kiss to his forehead. This close, I could see that the pupils in his eyes were dilated. They drugged you, I said, scanning his body to see where he was most injured. Ilya moved his free hand to his chest, and I saw a small insertion. They shot you with a drug pellet? I asked. I suddenly frowned, wondering how I knew that the wraiths did that. The vision of a young boy being shot with one came to mind. A black-haired boy. The one from my dreams.
Yes,
Ilya rasped out, pulling my attention back to him. Ilya's hand twitched on my cheek, and he looked me straight in the eyes.
last night, when you didn't come to me. He has forbidden any more contact with you.
His jaw clenched. Ilya looked away, and I saw handprint bruises on his neck. My stomach lurched at how close he had come to death. I shifted to my feet and reached for his hand. Ilya threaded his fingers through mine, trusting me completely. I helped him up and led him to the shower. I turned the handle and the spray came on. I shed my dress and proceeded to wash him down with soap. My hands ran over every inch of hard muscle. Ilya's huge body was still uncoordinated with the after effects of the drug. I pressed kiss after kiss to his back and his shoulders, then moved to stand at his front. Ilya's head was bowed, and he watched me as I washed him. My hands smoothed over his torso and broad chest as Ilya's fingers stroked along my dampening hair. I smiled peacefully as I washed the blood from his chest, his number tattoo coming into view. My heart raced as I thought of his name, of how to tell him that he had a name. Ilya took a long, deep breath, and I quickly looked up. At first, I believed it was simply the water from the shower cascading down his face. But when I truly looked into his eyes, when I saw the gutting expression of sadness and defeat on his face, I knew that it wasn't. He was crying. Ilya, the pit bull, the champion of the Arziani deathmatch pit, was breaking down. Reaching behind him, I switched off the shower. My stomach sank. Ilya's eyes were downcast, and his arms hung weakly by his sides. Rolling onto my tiptoes, I placed my hands on his cheeks. Ilya blinked and met my eyes. When he did, my heart splintered at the tears trickling down his pale cheeks. His blue eyes were dulled with pain, the whites bloodshot from his sorrow.
"Wevoin," I whispered, throat tight.
Ilya's drying skin bumped in the cool breeze that drifted around his dark cell. A tear ran over my thumb on his cheek. I wiped it away with the brush of my hand. A lump built in my throat at seeing a big male so broken.
"What is it?"
I asked, and searched his gaze for an answer.
"Are you in pain? Do you hurt?"
He lightly shook his head. Ilya glanced away, then looked back in my eyes. His arms lifted and he placed one hand on the side of my neck. I momentarily closed my eyes at this feeling. His other hand skirted down my cheek. My eyes fluttered open under his touch. When he knew he had my attention, he rasped,
"I thought I was going to lose you."
A pit caved in my stomach, hollow and deep.
"No,"
I replied, but his eyes dropped and more tears fell. I couldn't stand this sight, couldn't stand this strong male feeling so torn. I opened my mouth to speak, when his gaze glazed over and he said sadly,
"First he makes you want them. He makes you need them in your heart. Then he takes them away. He takes them away so that you'll do anything to get them back."
I held my breath as the words kept pouring like razors from his mouth.
"He uses your need for them to break you, to do anything he demands. Then the minute you fail, the minute you don't do what he demands, he hurts them. He hurts them and makes you watch. Keeps you behind heavy bars, where you cannot help, where you must watch and feel every hit like it was you that was receiving the pain."
Ilya's hoarse voice cut off. He cleared his throat, then finished.
"And finally, when you're desperate, when you'll do anything just to touch their face or hold them in your arms, he will end their life, slit their throat, put a bullet through their brain, stab them in the chest, and he makes you watch, keeps you helpless, and through their death, takes your soul as his own."
Ilya's fingers chased the tears on my cheeks. I hadn't even known I'd been crying.
"Please," I cried and shook my head.
When I looked back into his eyes, he said,
"He will take you from me, moi prekrasny. It has already begun. He gave you to me.
Ilya stared at my face like he would never see it again. He studied my features like they were the most important thing in his world. Sighing, he added,
You became my heart.
Ilya's eyes squeezed shut and his heart contorted with pain. When they opened, he said,
He made me want you like I have never wanted anything else. Even my freedom doesn't compare. If I had to fight every day for the rest of my life here in this pit, I would do it, gladly, to have you with me.
He swallowed, and his expression turned to one of grief.
But he won't do that. He wants me to pay for years of disobedience by losing you. He will keep you away, or at the very worst.
He trailed off, then rasped.
He will kill you, like he did 140's female, like he did with 667's female today. The champion had not meant to kill so soon. It was instinct. He struck out in the way we had been trained to defend our whole lives.
He shook his head.
But it did not make a difference. Master killed 667's female without a second thought. I watched from the waiting cell, and in that second, I saw the male die too. Only his heart still beat, and he still drew breath.
Ilya swallowed.
But he was dead. I saw it in his eyes. There was nothing left to live for, so he attacked.
Ilya stepped closer to me, his body tired from the mixture of the drugs and the physical toll of the fight. He stared at me, and I stared at him. I watched a large tear slip from the corner of his eye and roll down his cheek.
Master has already hurt you.
He made me watch.
His only move left is to take you from me for good.
He winced at the thought.
To kill you. And that would kill me. Yeah.
I choked on a sob when I heard the truth of his confession. He froze. Then, with a hazy confusion in his eyes, he questioned.
Ilya?
My stomach flipped when I realized what I had just revealed. Ilya's hands tightened on my face. His fingers began to shake. Inhaling to calm my nerves, I said,
Ilya, it is your name.
Ilya's bowed head lifted and he searched my face for reassurance and an explanation of what I'd just revealed. I wasn't sure.
What?
I nodded my head and smiled through my tears.
You heard me correctly.
My hand drifted down off his cheek to run over his tattoo. I traced the numbers 901, then said,
You are Ilya Konev. You are from Russia. You were taken from an orphanage as a child by the wraiths and brought here. You are 24 years old. I don't know more than that, but...
I laughed, unable to hold back my happiness.
You have a name. You are someone, Moivoin. Ilya Konev?
Ilya whispered, the words unfamiliar to his lips.
Yes,
I replied, and my smile grew wider. Ilya's skin bumped even more as the temperature in the room dropped. Releasing him, I reached for a towel for each of us. When he took hold of my wrist, I turned to see him looking at me, his expression still one of deep surprise.
You?
He questioned. He looked at the back of my neck where my tattoo was placed and asked,
Do you know your name?
Standing straight, I answered,
Inessa. My name is Inessa Belrova, from Russia. I also was taken by the wraiths from an orphanage.
Ilya was silent in response. I could see this information had cost him more energy. Taking his hand, I brought him to stand beside the towels and quickly dried his wet skin. He stood there watching my every move. When I had dried myself, I walked us to the narrow bed and sat down on the edge. Ilya immediately followed my lead. He still watched me. He was watching me with such intensity that I felt a self-conscious blush travel up my neck and bloom on my cheeks. I ducked my head, escaping his rapt attention, but he captured my chin before it tucked against my chest and guided it to meet his eyes. "Inessa," he said quietly, like my name was a prayer on his lips. My heart skipped a beat, my lips parting in response. This close, I noticed flecks of gray in his blue irises. "Inessa Belrova," he murmured, adding my surname. Shifting his body beside me, he pushed my hair from my face. "Inessa and Ilya." I closed my eyes, savoring the sound of our names being uttered side by side. I squeezed the hand that still lay in mine. "Say it again," I asked. Ilya sucked in a quick breath but complied. "Inessa and Ilya. Ilya and Inessa. More than just our numbers." My eyes slammed open. A new kind of expression had taken root on Ilya's face. I determined it was due to the knowledge of who he was, but before I could think about it anymore, he slowly leaned in and pressed his mouth to mine. I moaned as our lips touched. Ilya's lips were tentative and gentle. I wouldn't have wanted it any other way. Ilya's mouth broke away, and he pressed his forehead to mine. I listened to his controlled breathing. Then he said, "As much as I'm pleased to know my name, I think I like knowing yours more." "Ilya," I whispered in reply, overcome by the confession. Ilya opened his mouth to say something, but I shook my head. "Lie down," I commanded gently. A stubbornness flitted over his face. "I'm not weak," he uttered coldly. "I know," I said soothingly. "But I'm tired from today and want to lie beside you." This seemed to work. Ilya carefully lay down, favoring the parts of his body that were hurting him. When his head hit the mattress, he turned to look at me. I mirrored his position. His hand lay on the patch of mattress between us. I covered his hand with my own. Ilya watched me, but it wasn't in possession or want. He was looking at me as though our time was limited, like I would be ripped from his side any second. A surge of sadness rushed through me because I knew it could be true. Ilya's eyebrows pinched together as he watched me. I knew my sorrowful expression must be the cause. "I hate Mister for forbidding me to come to you anymore." Ilya's breathing paused. His fingers beneath my hand became rigid. Before he could speak, I continued. "He said that his work with you is done. He will keep me to himself. He is going to keep me in my quarters."
"He's going to cage you? Imprison you further?"
"Yes." Ilya shifted toward me, his thick muscular leg lifting to cover my own.
"How do you know all of this?"
"My Chiri. She has become my friend. Her name is Maya." His eyes widened in surprise.
"She knows her name?"
"She knows everything that happens in this pit. She can move around undetected, without suspicion because of her lowly status." I glanced to his identity tattoo and explained.
"One of her people was able to discover who we are."
Ilya stared in disbelief. As he did, another name circled my head.
"Valentine."
A finger coasted down my cheek. I closed my eyes at the feel, then opened them again. Ilya was waiting for me to speak, so I did.
"She discovered something else, too," I confided. "She found that I had a brother. He was brought here to the pit."
"A brother?"
I nodded, then turned my hand over to grip his. I needed his hand tighter now. A pain had built in my chest, and my head ached as I tried to push myself to remember him. Something about him. All I got were broken images and fractured flashes flitting through my mind. I squeezed my eyes tight shut when a pressure built behind them. I opened them, meeting Ilya's worried gaze.
"He was called Valentine. Valentine Belrov.
I sighed in frustration. I lifted my hand and rubbed it across my forehead. But I can't remember him. The drugs have robbed me of a clear recognition of his face. I thought of Maya's face and said, I see scars. I see Maya's scarred face and something about it reminds me of a male. Then I dream. I dream of a boy holding me tightly, telling me he will come back for me. Other images sometimes break through, but I don't know if they are real or in my imagination.
What do you see?
A larger male, I replied, trying my very best to hold on to the picture I saw in sleep most nights. I moved my hand to my cheek and neck. Scars. He has scars that litter his skin. I then moved my hand to Ilya's chest and all the tattoos Master had forced upon his champion's skin. He has tattoos, like yours, but at the same time, not like yours. More like writing rather than pictures. I looked down at my bracelet and at the metal. He also wears a collar, like my bracelet, and it makes him angry. It makes him change. He goes from being kind to being cold and brutal in a flash. Just like my bracelet makes me crave a male as soon as the drug hits my blood. My eyes filled with tears, some unknown emotion making me very sad. Ilya moved closer still, his body heat warming my cold, shivering skin. Inhaling a long breath, I said, But thinking of him makes me sad. Because I think this male, he was someone to me. I patted my chest over my heart. I feel him here, like he's a part of me. I blinked twice to clear the tears from my eyes. I now believe he is my brother.
Where is he now?
Maya couldn't find out. His information had been taken. I don't even know his number. I don't know if he was forced to fight or if he was a Chiri. My throat clogged with a large lump, but I managed to say, I don't even know if he still lives. Ilya looked away. When he looked back, his eyes flashed with understanding.
194,
he murmured, his voice indicating he had understood something in his mind. I frowned. He explained.
The Russian new champion fighter, 194. You were watching him in the training pits.
Ilya nodded and said, He has scars and words tattooed on his skin. My stomach rolled at the thought of that frightening male. But Ilya was right. When I had seen him watching me, I couldn't help but watch him back. Yes, I replied. I am used to males staring at me. I am used to fighters watching me on Master's arm. But when I saw that warrior, I couldn't help but stare. He has scars. The tattoos. The red mark around his neck. I shook my head, disappointment flooding my heart. But the male wasn't clear to me. For a silly moment, I let myself wonder if that fighter could be the male from my dreams. But although similar, he also looked so different from what my dreams show me. I laughed a mirthless laugh. I am being foolish. All fighters have scars and tattoos. Many have collars or contraptions that Master forces upon them to inject them with his drugs. I sagged into the mattress. For a moment, when I saw him watching me, I wondered if he knew me, if he could possibly explain why someone who looks like him is in my dreams. But I forgot it quickly. When Maya told me of my brother, the young boy I see at night made sense. But he looked nothing like the male in the pits. It was wishful thinking that I had anybody in this place, that I wasn't alone. Silence stretched for a moment before Ilya added hoarsely,
You have me.
My lips parted as a short breath left my mouth. Ilya's unwavering eyes never strayed from mine. And I felt it. I felt the truth of his words. I felt my heart beat louder and faster, a beat created just for him.
You have me too, I replied, and laid my hand on the side of his neck. Ilya took in a slow breath. Chest filling with light, I closed in and kissed his bruised mouth. But Ilya didn't seem to feel the pain. Instead, his hand raced up my back to thread into my hair. I moaned as he pulled me closer against him, my breasts now flush with his chest. And we kissed. We kissed and we kissed until I broke away on a gasp. But Ilya stayed close by, his hands traveling over my bare skin, making it bump in their wake. My eyes fluttered shut at the feel. Ilya groaned as my hand ran down his chest, my fingers stroking his lower stomach. I opened my eyes just as Ilya rolled me onto my back. He moved to climb above me, but as he did, he hissed out a pained sound. I stilled, seeing his teeth gritting together. "What is it?" I asked. Ilya flopped back to the mattress, his muscles tense with pain.
"The flight today," he said in a low, husky voice. "It drained me."
I roved my eyes along the expanse of his body. Severe wounds and large black bruises covered almost every inch of his skin. When I met Ilya's eyes, he confessed,
"I want you."
He swallowed and added,
"I need you. I have to have you with your name on my lips and mine on yours. Us, together, each someone."
My lungs held in a breath as he added,
"More than numbers. Master forced us to be."
Needing it too, I exhaled and moved above him. Ilya watched me with hunger in his eyes as my hand drifted to his hard length. His cut lips tightened when my fingers wrapped around him, and he hissed a guttural groan when I began moving my hand up and down. My skin began to heat at the sight of this warrior as he closed his eyes and arched his back. I knew I had taken many males before, but never like this. I knew I hadn't, even though I had no memory. Because no one else could ever make me feel like this. No male could ever make my heart beat like Ilya. I drank in his hard muscles and dark tattoos. Then suddenly, I cried out when Ilya moved his hand to the apex of my thighs. I moaned as his fingers ran along my core. The pleasure he brought made my hand work faster on his length. Ilya growled a low, savage groan. I saw fire light in his eyes, and I leaned down to kiss him, to join his lips with my own. He pushed his finger inside my channel, and I burst apart with light. The breathing was hard and heavy as my body jerked against his. When I raised my head, Ilya said,
"I need you."
Acting on instinct, I released his length. Lifting my legs, I carefully straddled his waist. Ilya's hands immediately planted on my hips, and his expression showed his possession, the approval of where I now sat. I moved a hand to cover one of his own, and as I did, we both stilled. I met his eyes and he met mine, and I knew without words what was being said. We had each other. Ilya and Anessa. The High Mona and the Champion. Forbidden. Reaching behind me, I guided his length inside me, slowly leaning back until he had filled me so impossibly full. I gripped his hand and my head drew back at the feel. Shivers raced up my spine as Ilya began guiding my hips to move. I lifted up, then lowered back down, building speed in tandem with pleasure. Ilya's hands roamed over my body. My eyes snapped open when Ilya palmed my breast and whispered,
"Anessa."
I froze as I stared down at him. He was watching, waiting to hear my response. Moving my hips, seeing his nostrils flare, I replied,
"Ilya, my Ilya."
As his name left my lips, something in Ilya broke. His control snapped, unleashing a hungry snarl that ripped from his mouth. This time, despite his pain and injuries, Ilya lifted his torso. With strong, unyielding arms, he wrapped them around my waist and flipped me on my back. Ilya was over me in seconds, his body blanketed my own. His thick neck was corded with veined, tense muscles. Positioning himself between my legs, he pushed forward. We both cried out as he filled me again. As he braced above me,
I turned my head and placed kiss after kiss on his wrist. I felt his racing pulse flutter beneath my lips. When I looked back up, Ilya was staring at me, his hips rolling, piercing me with pleasure. Reaching up, Ilya panting harshly above me, I ran my hands down his broad back. At my touch, Ilya groaned, head tipping back. Pressure began building at the bottom of my spine. When Ilya looked back down, I whispered, "I'm close." Ilya's eyes glittered and his skin glistened with a sheen of sweat.
"Yes," he groaned.
I knew he was close, too. Needing to see his face when I found pleasure, needing to watch him come apart, too, I slid my hands until they palmed his cheeks. Ilya lowered his head and pressed his chest against mine. His warm, quick breath washed over my face. His lower stomach pressed against my butt of nerves, and unable to hold off anymore, I felt my channel contract as pleasure took me in its hold, my scream of release echoing loudly off the cell's stone walls.
"Ilya,"
I moaned, as the hedonistic feeling didn't fade. Hearing his name usher from my lips, Ilya jerked in his movements and, with a final hard thrust, spilled inside me. His eyes squeezed shut as he gave in to his release. Then, like an answer to every wish I'd ever had, Ilya's mouth opened and he called out, "Inessa." My vision blurred as he crushed his heavy body to mine. His lips found my cheeks and neck, and with every caress, he repeated,
"Inessa, Inessa, my Inessa."
Ilya tucked his head into the crook between my neck and shoulder. I gripped hard and ran my hand through his blonde hair. Ilya muttered something against my skin.
"What?"
I asked breathlessly. Ilya slowly lifted his head. When he met my eyes, he said,
"I want this."
He inhaled.
"I want this every day. I..."
His words cut off, but he forced himself to finish.
"I want to be forever with you."
I blinked quickly to rid myself of tears, but my stomach still plummeted. Ilya's face dropped.
"How would that be possible?"
I questioned, the cave in my tunneling returning stronger and deeper.
"Mester will never allow it."
I wrapped my arms around his neck, hanging on with everything I had. I wanted to freeze this moment so it would never end. I wanted to stay here, just like this.
"I don't know,"
he finally admitted. He was as defeated as I was. When I looked at his face, he said,
"I thought having a female would make me weak. I thought wanting someone, being with someone, needing her, would destroy my place here in the pit."
He paused, then said,
"But since I let you into my heart, since I let you into my soul, you have made me stronger. I want more than fighting and death. I want more than this pit. And I want that with you. Only you."
"Ilya," I whispered. The only thing I could give him in response was,
"I want all of that with you too."
He ducked his head, then lifted it to ask shyly,
"You do?"
I smiled and cherished the feel of his warm skin pressed against mine.
"More than anything."
Ilya's lips twitched. I held in my breath when a full smile spread on his cut lips. I gasped at the beauty. Moving my fingers to his lips, I pressed my fingertips to them and said,
"I don't want a master. I don't know what life looks like above this place, but with you, I wouldn't care. As long as I could be with you, I would live in perpetual darkness if it meant I got to keep you by my side. We would be you and me. Then one day we could maybe have more. Children, laughter, happiness."
The tension around Ilya's eyes had softened at my confession. I waited with bated breath for how he would respond. But just then, a cool but angered voice mused,
"Well, this is interesting."
Ice shattered down my spine when I recognized that voice. I stilled in Ilya's arms. Ilya's cold killer expression filled me with dread. Ilya's arms shook at my sides. When the sound of the cell opening shattered the tense silence, Ilya jumped to his feet and charged for the door. I sat up on a scream as I saw guards run into the cell and push Ilya against a wall. Charged picanas were pressed against his skin, Ilya roaring out as the high-voltage charge ran through his body. I stared at my warrior, but Ilya was glaring at Master. Master who, when I turned to face him, was storming toward me. His dark eyes were furious. He reached out and grabbed me by my hair. A rage-filled bellow ripped from Ilya. But before I could even turn around, Master had pulled me from Ilya's cell, unclothed. As I was dragged down the hallway, my feet slapping on the stone floor, I could still hear Ilya fighting to be free of the guards. Tears streamed from my eyes, caused by the pain of Master's grip on my hair. He wrenched me around a corner and we began to descend some unfamiliar stairs. Fear cut through me as I lost my footing and slammed against the wall. We landed on the floor of a narrower hallway and my knees gave out. But Master continued to drag me, my skin grazing on the rough stone. I cried out when he pulled harshly on my hair. My body fell forward, causing Master to stop. Reaching down, he wrapped his hand around my arm and wrenched me to my feet. I cried out as he did and found myself being hurled against the wall. My back smacked against the stone, robbing me of my breath. Then Master was in my face, his teeth gritted hard. "Bitch," he snarled, and released my hair to wrap his hand around the front of my throat. I struggled to breathe as he squeezed his hand tightly. Moving his face to mine, he bit out,
"Bitch whore. Another unfaithful bitch whore."
I instinctively clawed at his hands. The second my nails dug into his skin, Master let go of my arms, keeping me in place by the hand on my neck. He sliced the back of his hand across my face. I had tried to move with the hit, but Master's other hand kept me still. His dark eyes were wild as he glared at me. As he landed another smack across my face, I knew this was it. I had disobeyed the ruler of my life. A life I knew he was going to take. Leaning in closer, he spat.
"You chose that savage animal over me."
His hand moved to my core and I closed my eyes. He used his hand on my throat to hit my head against the stone until my eyes opened again. When he knew he had my attention, he cupped my center harshly, then withdrew his hand and wiped it across the skin on my stomach. Releasing my neck, he gripped my hair again and commenced dragging me down the hallway. The farther we got, the darker it became. We didn't walk for long before we came to a stop. Master opened a large metal door and threw me inside. He slammed the door behind us. I forced myself to sit up, and when I did, I wished that I hadn't. I ranged my eyes around the room. It was empty but for two large beams that had ropes tied to them. And on the far wall were tools. Lots and lots of tools. I felt Master close in behind me. Without speaking, he lifted me off the floor by my arm. I tried to protest when I saw he was taking me to the posts. Master dropped me in the center of the two masts and walked over to the first and took hold of the rope. My stomach fell when he walked back to me and tied a loop around my wrist. Master pulled hard on the rope until it tightened on my wrist. I cried out as the rope cut into my skin. He didn't even flinch as he did the same with the rope on my right. He stepped back when he had attached them to my wrists. My hair was in front of my eyes, shielding me from his cold stare. But then the ropes pulled. They pulled so tightly that my body lifted up until only my tiptoes touched the floor. My arms were held high, suspended by the ropes. I bit down on my tongue to stop my cries. The taste of coppery blood filled my mouth.
"Look up, slut," Master commanded.
Forcing my head up, I could see Master glaring at me from a few feet away. My hair still covered my eyes, but I could see his rigid stance. I could see flashes of his fuming face. Annoyed by this, Master stepped forward and pushed my hair back until I could see him clearly. He had taken off his jacket and vest. He had removed his tie and rolled up the sleeves of his shirt. His expression was severe as he glowered at me. His eyes tracked over my body. He shook his head.
"So much potential," he muttered, and stepped away.
I watched as he walked to the wall of tools and removed a leather lash. As he turned to me, he snapped it between his hands. The loud echo ricocheted around the bare room. Master stopped before me, making sure his words hit home. Master took the end of the lash and ran it across my torso.
"I sacrificed my Haimona to make 901 yield to me, to become the most ruthless champion there ever was. He would fight to get you back. You are a Mona, a trained whore. Your talents would make him fall in time, fall hard."
He moved the lash to run over my lips.
"But I never expected you to fall for him. I am the master of the pit. I created this world.
I created you." The anger radiated off him in waves.
"Why would you want him? An animal that knows nothing but killing, when you had me."
Master stilled.
"My last Haimona chose a fighter too. She fell for the animal that I had commanded to take her. Then she disobeyed my order of never seeing him again and crawled back to his cell."
His eyes were wild with rage, and he drew back the lash. I watched it as he placed it at his side.
"Just like you," he said coldly. "Just like you disobeyed me."
Master stepped forward. Lifting his hand, he gently caressed my face. I flinched, expecting him to be cruel. But he wasn't. He was gentle and kind. His voice softened and he asked,
"Why, Petal? Why him?"
My lips trembled as I pictured Ilya's face in my mind. My heart swelled at the mercy thought of his smile and touch. My lips wore a small smile, and I said,
"Because we are the same. With him, I am someone. With me, he is someone too. We make each other strong."
Master didn't move. A dark eyebrow rose at my answer. Then he laughed. He laughed, loud and true. He laughed in my face. My skin prickled as he sobered. Then, after a kiss to my cheek, he said,
"You are not someone, pretty Petal. You are a Mona. I own you. My people took you from being someone, if you can call being an orphan someone, and I put you to use. But I own you. Make no mistake about that. Just like I own him. On your own, you are nothing. Together, you are nothing."
Master shook his head in amusement, but I could see his ire at my choice of Ilya over him. It was killing him inside. As I stared at Master, as I felt the ropes digging into my wrists, I knew this was it for me. I knew I would not come out of this alive. I knew he would murder Ilya too. I don't know how, but he would find a way to kill him in the final. It was 2 days away. Knowing I had nothing left to lose, I found the courage to say,
"There was no part of being with you that I enjoyed. You are a cruel and evil male. If you were to go toe to toe with any of the so-called animals you have created, they would tear you apart in seconds. They don't hide behind wraiths and guns. They don't need heavy drugs. Your champions prove that. You sit on your throne, making me grovel at your feet. In reality, you should be the one groveling for every life you have taken or sullied in this pit you call your empire. What the rest of us call hell."
My lips curled in disdain.
I don't remember my life above ground, but whatever it was, if it was good or bad, at least it would have been mine. I would have chosen my own path, and I would never have chosen a male like you. Your touch is repulsive to me. You are repulsive. I made sure I had his attention and spat. You, Master, are not worthy of me. It was never the other way around. Master glared. I wasn't sure what he would do, how he would react. Then a smile pulled on his mouth, but it wasn't a good kind of smile. It was cruel. It was a smile he wore when he ordered someone's death. Master's nose stroked down my cheek.
You may have had a choice above ground, Petal, but you would have always been a whore. Every woman is a whore. I just make sure there are no mind games with my monabi. They serve and they get fucked. The only thing they are good for.
Master stepped back, his hand tightening on the lash's handle.
I saw you, Petal. I saw you watching 901 as he trained. I saw the look in your eyes. And I saw it with the scarred mutant the New Yorkers brought in. I saw you watch him too. And him watch you.
He tapped his temple.
I stored it all away, just in case you betrayed me. I kept note.
He shook his head with incredulity.
901 is a champion. An animal, but a champion. Discard fighter, 194. I don't understand the appeal of him, but you clearly did.
Master cracked the whip at his side, my body jumping at the action. He smiled again at my reaction and moved around the posts to stand directly behind me. I closed my eyes, feeling his warm breath as he kissed the side of my neck.
You held such promise. I thought I had picked well.
He tutted, then added,
But I was wrong. Your pretty face lured me in, and every other man in this pit.
Master kissed me again, and I wanted to throw up. His touch was like poison to me now. There was only Ilya who had me.
You were my delicate flower, 152. My petal. And just like a petal, you will wither when ripped apart.
My eyes opened. He stepped back. 3 footsteps sounded on the stone floor. I heard the crack of the whip and braced for the punishment of my defiance.
Just a few lashes,
Master said flatly. My breathing came faster as I prepared for the pain.
You seem to have a thing for scarred mutants. So let's make you into one,
It was several strained minutes before the first strip sliced along my back. But as the pain ripped through my flesh and the screams tore from my throat, I pictured Ilya in my mind. I would die here in this room. He would die in the final in the pit. But I smiled as another strip hit, because we would each pass knowing each other's name. We would find each other again, in whatever life came next.
14. Ilya. The room was covered in red as the mist of rage descended over my eyes. The guards struck, one after the other, the charge from their pakanas singeing my skin. But I didn't stop. I swung and lashed out. The guards tried to stop me, but every crush of bone or spill of blood only fueled me more. My wounds from the fight were forgotten as I replayed Anessa's being ripped from my cell by her hair. I had seen the look in Master's face. He was going to hurt her. He was going to kill her. A loud roar spilled from my mouth, and I grabbed the nearest guard by his neck, lifting him clean off the floor. The others struck me with their pakanas, bringing me to my knees. But I took the guard with me, using the last of my strength to slam him to the ground. The guard's spine cracked on the hard floor, eyes rolling back in his head as his life drained from his body. Shaking my head from the after effects of the electrical charge, I didn't see the blow coming to the back of my head. I fought to keep awake until my vision faded and I blacked out. The next thing I knew, I woke with blistering pain throbbing throughout my skull. I forced my heavy eyes to open, my vision clearing to show me the wall of my cell. I frowned, unable to remember what had happened,